This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers in Islam, we're still continuing our series of what do we learn from Ramadan. Ramadan, of course, the blessed month that is over now, it's finished. Well, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as you know, they used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 6 months after Ramadan that Allah azza wa jal accept from them Ramadan. The idea is that Ramadan was always in their mind. And 6 months before, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them life, that they reach Ramadan and that Allah azza wa jal bless Ramadan for them. For the idea of this entire thinking and this entire hadith for you and I to know is that Ramadan was always in the minds of the believers. Now, we already discussed 2 points of what we can learn from Ramadan. The number one point was what?
Way of life.
That worship is a way of life. Now, when we discussed the first moment of the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what it was, and the last moment in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how it was, and we discovered that his first and last moment of the day was about worship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For as a result, the first lesson we learned, we said that worship is a way of life. It's not limited to 30 days. And so a person's relationship with Allah azza wa jal, it strengthens at the end of Ramadan. فإذن, that was the first lesson. And lesson number two was? Repentance is a way of life as well. Even though we said that repentance is from the worship, but we made it a category on its own, because Ramadan, the days of Ramadan when a person fasts, this equals to a complete forgiveness of his sins, as in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. For the fasting itself was a tawbah. And we spoke about the story of Adam alayhi salam and how he ate something, and when he came down to the earth, as a result he had to fast, because what he ate was haram. And to repent from that which he ate, Allah azza wa jal legislated fasting from day one. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Even those in the past, they used to fast, or it was mandatory upon them to fast, just like it is mandatory upon us to fast. However, the fasting used to differ, it would differ in terms of how it used to be done. فَالتَّوْبَةِ is a way of life. And the night prayers, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, anyone who prayed the night prayers during Ramadan out of Iman and seeking the reward from Allah, as well, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. It is a tawbah for him. It eventually would equal into a complete forgiveness of his sins. And مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ, as well, anyone who put that effort in Laylat al-Qadr and worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal during that night, then also that was a tawbah for him, and Allah Azza wa Jal would wipe away all his sins, a complete forgiveness of sins. فَإِذَنْ you realize, during the day and during the night, every single one of us had the opportunity to earn complete forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For we learned, Ramadan taught us that at-tawbah is a way of life. Now we're up to the third and fourth point perhaps, inshallah ta'ala. And we see that this is the third point. During Ramadan and in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, there is a worship known as al-i'tikaf. We're all familiar with al-i'tikaf. Al-i'tikaf, it comes from the word akafa. Akafa means habasa. Al-i'tikaf, it comes from the word akaf. And akaf means habas. Habasa meaning to cage oneself, to isolate yourself. And this is exactly what al-i'tikaf is. That you isolate yourself from the worldly life, and you come to al-masajid, you do i'tikaf in al-masjid, and you isolate, you seclude yourself between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No distraction whatsoever. This is al-i'tikaf. And this is the best form of worship that one could do during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. طيب. You know, al-i'tikaf, it requires a lot of sacrifice. It requires a lot of effort. This is why not everyone does i'tikaf. Not everyone can do that sacrifice. So sometimes, and al-i'tikaf is also accepted even if it was a moment. Even if it was an hour, even if it was a day, half a night, half a day, it doesn't matter. But every time you walk out and you come back in, you need to renew that intention of al-i'tikaf. Not easy. 10 days of sacrifice. You leave your wife and your family and your children. You come to al-masjid, you pack up what you need to pack up. You come and you sleep in the masjid days and nights. And not only that, it's full of worship in the day and full of worship of the night. All of this seeking only one night, which is Laylatul Qadr. Tayyib, it was worth it. But now, you know that there is something much better than al-i'tikaf. This is what Ramadan is going to teach us. Yani tell you now, you understand how incredible of a sacrifice and effort one needs to put and endure so that he yani earns Laylatul Qadr, what he has to do in the last 10 nights. But there is something better than this. And if there's something better than this, then as believers, we're supposed to look forward towards this and implement it as best as we can. What is better than al-i'tikaf? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَا أَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخٍ لِي فِي حَاجَةٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي مَسْجِدِي هَذَا شَهْرًا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, for me to walk with my brother in order to assist him in a problem, in an issue that he has in life, is much more beloved for me than to do i'tikaf in al-masjid al-nabawi for 1 month. Understand and imagine, if you wanted to do i'tikaf in al-masjid al-nabawi right now, what effort is it going to take from you? How much money is it going to cost you that you organize your ticket, you organize to get there, then the travel all the way until you reach al-Madinah, then you sit in al-masjid 1 month i'tikaf inside that masjid. The 10 days and people struggle. Imagine 1 month. All of this, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that to walk with a brother of yours in order to assist him in a problem he has in life, shuf, listen, not necessarily solving it for him, just to be with him. لَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخٍ لِي فِي حَاجَةٍ. Just gonna walk alongside with him, try to assist him. This part of the hadith, the condition is not that you necessarily solve his problem. You're just with him, you support him, give him some dawah. Brother, be patient, make some dua. This is assisting him. Assisting him could be in many forms. Just that alone is much more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than i'tikaf in al-masjid al-nabawi for 1 month. Ramadan is teaching us this lesson. And how does it teach us this lesson? That when we come to Ramadan, we all come together. We pray next to each other. We're all fasting during the day. This is why people invite each other in Ramadan, because we're all doing the same thing. And we're all going to eat at the same time. We look after each other. What happens after Ramadan? How come that help doesn't continue? And how come that brotherhood doesn't continue? All of a sudden everything dies. Then we need to understand Ramadan, one of the purposes of Ramadan was to bring us together as a community. Bring the brothers together, and the sisters together, and the family together, and the friends together. This was the purpose of Ramadan. Not just to know each other on a, yani when everything is good, we know each other. And when things go bad, Allah salamu alaykum, I got nothing to do with you. I got no idea what's going on. When I'm not interested in knowing who you are, and you move on. Now, the true brotherhood and the true lesson of Ramadan is when we walk with each other and assist each other in our problems. And these could be worldly problems, and they could be religious matters as well. For example, you know someone that is new to Islam and he doesn't know how to read Quran. Wanta, mashallah, you know how to read Quran. Sit and teach him, assist him. You might not solve his problem. At the end of the day, you might not solve his problem and he's able to read right. But assist him in his issue, assist him. You know someone in this worldly life that is suffering, from a sickness, for example, and you can go and show him support and speak to him a few words, like bring some peace and tranquility to his heart. Do it and understand that this is much more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than i'tikaf in al-masjid for 1 month. You know someone that is going through a hard time, he's got debts, financial difficulties, whatever it is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you all the provisions, mashallah, help, assist. At the end of the day, dunya only, it's only dunya. You give the people, you assist them, you help them, you look after them. Once again, not necessarily solving their problem. The first part of the hadith is not conditioning that you solve their problem. Someone is going through a difficulty, you might give him a little bit, maybe it relieves something. It'll definitely assist him in his problem. Subhanallah, a question once came to a sheikh. The question was, someone asked the sheikh, he said to him, are we able to compete with the sahaba? Are we able to compete with the sahaba in goodness? He said to him, brother, what's in your pocket of money? Give it, give half of it to your brother. Are you able to do that or not? Even the question is flawless. The question is ridiculous. Don't ask such a question. لأن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم يعني they used to give when المهاجرين came to الأنصار, half of their wealth went to them, half. And if you're not able to do that, then never ask the question and never think that you'll be able to compete with الصحابة. Right? For the idea of this was, look at the brotherhood they had with each other and the assistance they had. Muhajireen came from Mecca all the way to Al-Madinah. They were kicked out of their lands, of their homes. Perhaps they came with a bit of their family missing, some of their family killed. Well, Ansar, they came to assist their brothers. Brothers need help. They gave them half what they have. And they were ready to divorce the more than one wife they have so that they can give it to this companion, and that authentic. This narration is authentic. And what's not only strange that the person would do that, but the wife would also accept to go to the other person in order to assist, in order to help. This is why Nabi sallallahu Allah azza wa jal made mention of them in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned them in the Quran because of what kind of brotherhood they had and how they used to assist each other in times of difficulty, no matter what the difficulty was. فَإِذَا this is one lesson, one of the many lessons we learn from Ramadan is that we assist and we help each other, and that is going to be better than in al-i'tikaf in al-Masjid al-Nabawi for 1 month. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of that hadith, he said something incredible. He said, وَلَا أَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخٍ لِي حَتَّى أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم حَتَّى أَقْضِيَ حَاجَتَهُ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزُولُ الْأَقْدَامِ. And if I was to walk with my brother in assisting him in his problem and I solve it for him, let's say in the case now you solved it for him, the reward is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would keep this person's feet steadfast on the day of judgment, on a day in which their feet are going to be trembling and shaking. What does that mean? It means that when the people walk on as-sirat, as-sirat, you know, as-sirat al-mustaqim, as-sirat, not as-sirat al-mustaqim. This is considered, it is called as-sirat on the day of judgment. It is a bridge that is laid out from one side of Jahannam until the other side. And the other side is the paradise. Each and every single person will walk on this surat. Right? And it is sharper than the knife, thinner than the hair strand. So you can just imagine how difficult the walk is. And underneath is not a river and water and a valley. Underneath is Jahannam itself. This is underneath a surat. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes there are some people that would cross it in the speed of lightning. Yeah, that's less than a second. Some will cross it in the speed of clouds. That's about 300, 400 kilometers an hour. Some would cross it in the speed of a horse, as a horse runs. And some would be walking on it. Some would be crawling on it. Al-munafiqoon, their light will be on and then all of a sudden it will turn off. Some would fall in. There's kalalib on the sides of it. Al-kalalib are like claws that scratch a person if he still has sins and hasn't been cleansed from it. All of this now doesn't concern you, bi-idhnillah, if you were to help someone in this life and assist him and remain to assist him until you solve his problem. أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla would keep his foot firm on that sirat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described that day, يَوْمَ تَزُولُ الْأَقْدَامِ. Tazool meaning on that day in where the foot will slip. It won't have any grip. It won't be steadfast. on that sirat. It'll slip, it'll fall in. فَأَنْتَ walking on that sirat, knowing that in this worldly life, you looked after someone until you solve these complete problems. Whether it's a family member or other than a family member, whether it's a religious matter, whether it's a worldly matter, whether it's a financial matter, it doesn't matter what it is. Then the hadith didn't specify. It just said hajatan, a problem. And you know, the good thing is that everyone has a problem. Everyone has a problem. For all it requires is from you to make some effort to look after people who have problems. You see your neighbor down the street. You see someone in the street of yours. You see someone in your circle. Don't remain as you are. I mean, shukrillah, from showing gratitude to Allah, is that you look after others if Allah Azza wa Jalla has looked after your affairs. This is min shukrillah. Yani, when assisting someone, there are many intentions in which you can do it. In the intention of the reward of this hadith, in the intention that this is you showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by extending an arm of support and aid and help to your brother and your sister. This is all bi-ithnillahi ta'ala rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, if anything as well, it's part of the manners of a Muslim. It is part of his manners that he looks after his brothers and sisters. And this looking after each other is a ni'mah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, that you became brothers because of a ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon you. He called it a ni'mah. Holy brothers, what's the purpose of it if we're not there for each other when times are tough and difficult? For this is what we need to understand. Whether it's locally, whether it's internationally as well, all of it is brothers and sisters in Islam that we're supposed to aid and assist. Then this is the third lesson of what we learn from Ramadan, and that is that we look after each other and we help each other. And if you're not able to completely solve a person's problem, no problems, that has its own reward. And if you went that extra mile and put that extra effort and put that hardship and determination to completely solve a person's problem, then bi-ithnillah, a grand reward for a person on the Day of Judgment. If he was to cross this sirat, khalas, after the sirat is the paradise, doors are open and he enters. Why? Because he helped someone in this worldly life. Show how cheap it is. How cheap is it? How many of us living here in this country are able to help so many overseas that are deprived? And I am speaking family members, if it was only your family member, or if it was others of our brothers and sisters, wherever they are in this worldly life, or on this earth, of a cheap price for the paradise. Some people, subhanAllah, yani, he can do so much with his money, he can help so many, but stinginess has taken his heart, greed has taken his heart. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never like this, there was a man, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always assist and give him. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he came. And he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Umar ibn al-Khattab was speaking something about this man, in which this person doesn't deserve the money of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Umar ibn al-Khattab, he mentioned that to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you giving this person? He does 1, 2, 3. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya'ba Allahu li al-bukhl. Allah azza wa jal, he doesn't want me to be stingy. He doesn't want me to be greedy. Anyone who came to the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took something. Anyone, not necessarily money, sometimes it was clothes, sometimes it was food. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look forward to giving the people more than they would look forward to his sadaqah. Imagine this, he'd look forward to assisting the people more than they required his help, and more than they looked forward to his help. Hadha, the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he taught us all. Some people, subhanAllah, yani, it's difficult for him to take out something fi sabilillah and help someone. Why? You want the paradise? You want the paradise and you can't take out something and give to your brother? What paradise do you want? What do you want to purchase? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah Azza wa Jalla purchased from the believers themselves, their effort, their time, and their money. In return, he gives them the paradise. $100 you can't help your brother with? A bit of money you can't help your brother with? But let's understand, my brothers, in Islam, Ramadan, one of the big lessons was to teach you and I that assisting our brothers in need, it continues. It's a way of life until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, bi-ithnillah, you hope that just like you used to look after your brothers and sisters in this life, that Allah azza wa jal looks after you in the hereafter. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَنْ نَفَّسَ عَمْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That whoever was to assist his brother in this life and relieve him from his problems, Allah Azza wa Jal would relieve him from his problems when he stands on that day. These meanings won't come to you. They won't make sense in your mind until that day when you stand, but then it's too late. Understand, هذا حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And these are serious, they're realities, they're authentic ahadith. Do we believe these ahadith or not? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-jannatu aqrabu ila ahadikum min shiraki na'lih. That the paradise and the fire as well is closer to you than your own shoes. Yani the hadith is implying that's how much of a reality they are. That if you see your shoes every day, then al-jannah wal-nar. And every hadith and every ayah we have is just as real and authentic. Just like one deals with his own shoe and sees it. And that's how close it is. It's right here. But you need to understand and help yourself by helping others. That's the third lesson that we learn from Ramadan. One more and fourth and final lesson we give today. And that is, we'll stop here. And as I said to you last time, we don't want to rush in the lessons. We want to take them one by one and we want to implement them so that at least we're benefiting. And we want to keep Ramadan in our mind. We need to honor this month. And by honoring this month, just the fact that you keep recalling it and making mention of it, and it's always on your mind, always in your heart, this is a means in how we're going to honor Ramadan. And if we honored this opportunity of Ramadan, we are honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return, because He's the one who gave us and taught us about this month. Faithen, my brothers in Islam, the project this month, and to keep it continued for yourself, assist others, assist al-da'wah, assist al-masajid, offer yourself in help as well. Do what you can for the Muslim ummah that you're part of. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all. We'll be with Allah ta'ala next week. We'll share another lesson of Ramadan. A grand lesson, a huge lesson that we learn from Ramadan, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.